This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. We're back with another week to break down this beautiful season of The Bachelorette with my wonderful co-host, Ashley Iaconetti.
You're so sweet, Ben. Hey, you were in my
neck of the woods,
my stomping grounds.
Yeah.
This weekend. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, but then again, I made a last minute trip home. So if I had known, if you had known, we would have seen each other first time in a long time. But how long were you in DC for and what did you guys do?
Oh, that would have been awesome. I'd love to see you. So this weekend was my wonderful fiance, Jessica Clark, soon to be Jessica Higgins. It was her birthday. And her best friend's husband works in D.C. And then her other best friend and her husband flew in to D.C. So we spent a weekend together as couples hanging out. The quick rundown is we biked all across Washington, D.C. We went to the Arlington Cemetery, which was absolutely incredible for many reasons. Then we went to a Washington Nationals baseball game. We bought tickets. Well, I had Jessica's friend buy us tickets. Guess where we sat?
Like behind home plate?
No. She bought tickets. She's like, it's a baseball game. We're just here to have a good time. She bought the highest tickets in the stadium. We literally sat on the fence, like on the top row. Like we were up against it, which was awesome.
Well, I hope you had a Big Ben's Chili Bowl hot dog while you were there.
We didn't. I couldn't convince anybody.
Ben.
I know. It's my fault.
That's the whole reason of going to Nat Stadium.
Is it close?
No, it's in. There's one in the stadium.
Oh, well, I'd read. I'm really big into going places where like presidents of the past have gone. We went to an Oyster House right by the White House that like a ton of presidents used to just like sit at and belly up at and have drinks at. So like, I wish I would have, cause I saw that Ben's Chili Bowl is a place that like most presidents go to at some time. Mm-hmm. But it was awesome. We had a really cool experience. And you know, here's the takeaway to end this thought. It was a great couples trip. It was nice to be out again. And Jessica said something to me yesterday on the flight home. I said, what was your highlight? And, she said, my highlight from this trip was not only the experience, but she says it was a blessing that all three of like her two best friends since she was like tiny, 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 all of the husbands get along so well. Cause I really do. I really like these guys. Like I enjoy hanging out with them. I'm excited to see them. She said that was just like the best birthday gift she could get. It was like to see all of her two best friends' husbands getting along with me and me getting along with them and us having fun together, which I thought was super sweet.
So sweet.
Yeah. Thought that was nice.
Very nice.
So what about you? What was your weekend like?
Not much. You know, yesterday was Father's Day. Mm-hmm. My dad said it was one of his favorite Father's Day that he remembers, which is really sweet, but I don't really know why. My sister and I went to the expo center with him. And then we went to Morton's for dinner and he took a nap. He did some lawn work. He says it's the best Father's Day he had in a while.
That sounds like the perfect day to have my two wonderful daughters, Morton's, a nap, some lawn work. It was Father's Day, and Father's Day is always interesting. And this is always a good moment that Ashley and I wanted to bring up. Father's Day is such an incredible day for so many reasons, but it's also such a tough day for so many reasons. That, you know, even going back to like The Bachelorette, we saw last week on the episode, like people talking about the loss of a father, the, you know, the transitions of seeing fathers age. And my dad, I don't even know if I ever talked about it, but this is a special Father's Day for me because a month ago he had emergency heart surgery again.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, 99% blockage in the heart.
That's crazy.
You know, any moment. And so like, now, last week he came out to Denver. We played in a father-son golf tournament together, which was something he was like, and even after surgery, the day after surgery, he goes, I'm going to get better so I can come play golf with you. And like that moment itself is special. And I know that's not always going to be able to be the case for us. And so just a moment for all those people who have lost fathers or maybe don't have the relationship with their father they desire. I know Father's Day is difficult, but it is still, you know, an incredible day to celebrate those who are in our, are in our life or have been father figures to us. So, you know, it's a special day. I enjoy those days where we can recognize the people closest to us.
I agree. Father's Day is always overshadowed by Mother's Day, you know? Yeah. It's like, come on. They're both as important.
Yeah, they are. They are. Well, yeah. Ashley, we have a big episode ahead of us today. Tell everybody about it.
Well, we have Jen Schaft, one of the first bachelorettes. I believe she was the third bachelorette on the podcast today. We are going to actually be catching up with past bachelorettes every week. That's one of our new themes. So over the next couple of weeks, expect to see some bachelorettes that you either see out and about a lot or some that have settled into suburban mom life like Jen has. She even has a podcast about it called From the Bachelor to the Burbs. So we'll be talking to her about that and about the difference between it being the bachelorette back then to what, the early 2000s versus now. And we'll be recapping the episode with her as well.
Should we ask her if she's on the text thread?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she is.
Okay, Jen Schaft on the text thread. We're going to talk to her. That's a big deal.
All right, well, actually, we have her on the phone right after this next break.
And this next break is sponsored to you by Zuru. Summer just got crazy with color. Crazy bunch of balloons by Zuru are here to help unleash summer fun.
It's super easy. By simply attaching a stem to a hose, you can fill and tie 100 water balloons in 60 seconds. Bunch of balloons are now made from certified recycled plastic, and our friends at Zuru Toys just sent us an amazing surprise unboxing experience to prepare us for the ultimate water fight.
Jump into summer with an all-out water balloon fight or blast away with X-Shot Fast Fill Water Blasters. For the little ones, we have tons of bubble-blowing fun with Glove a Bubble.
So visit Zuru.com, that is Zuru.com, to find out more about the hottest toys for summer. All right, guys, we have Jen Waterman, formerly known as Jen Schaft. Is it Schaft? I literally keep messing up your name.
No, you got it. You got it. Schaft.
Okay,
my
great.
My maiden name. So I'm Jen Schaft Waterman now.
Okay,
usually
great.
Jen Waterman, but you know.
But you had to hold on to your last name too in the middle, huh?
I did. I mean, just because I just sort of wanted to keep the Schaft. That's who I am. I mean, I got married when I was a little bit older too, and so it was hard to give up my last name. And so now it's actually my middle name.
That's how I feel about mine. I was always the girl who was like, oh, I can't wait to change my name. And then when I got married, or even like the couple, like year or so leading up to it, I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't really want to change it.
Mm-mm. It's hard.
Yeah.
In my list, you know, I'm a Jen or Jennifer, which there are a million of those in my age group.
Yeah.
So I was always known by my last name too. So yeah. It was hard to give that up.
All right. Well, you became the third bachelorette after your relationship with Andrew Firestone ended.
Yes.
How do you feel like the franchise, like The Bachelorette, has changed since? Do you think it's harder for girls now than it was to be the lead?
I don't know if it's harder. I think it's just, I mean, as much as the show is different, it's still so much the same. I mean, it's who's there for the right reason. Do they know you? Do they want to be with you? I mean, just watching, you know, this season with Katie too, it's like, you know, so much has changed. Like when I was on The Bachelor, we did it in LA and then I did The Bachelorette and that was filmed in New York City, which was very cool. But now you guys travel. I mean, now with COVID, it's kind of slowed down, but I missed all the like world traveling. So I didn't get that, but I think it's hard. I think it's always just hard for the lead to figure things out because you get this amazing opportunity to be the one to do the choosing yourself. And then you don't realize how stressful and maybe scary it really is.
You, it's always interesting to me going back in time. Was it a huge deal when you were announced, and did people, because more people back then actually watched the show. I mean,
That's very true.
Mm-hmm. So would you go around and be recognized? And then when you got announced, did people like kind of get like freak out and get excited?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I had to go, you know, film the show, recorded the show and all that and went, had to go back to work and, you know, be normal for a while. But then when it was announced, it felt like it was huge. And yeah, I mean, even back then, I know we didn't have social media the same way, but it was still huge. I mean, Us weekly, every week, Us Weekly, Star Magazine, In Touch, you know, all the magazines. We were part of those magazines like every single week. And that was very overwhelming too, because it was still so new that when I did The Bachelor, I just wasn't aware that how many people actually watched the show.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question or did I go off on like a weird tangent?
No, you did. It's kind of similar to, we were, you know, Ashley and I were right in the fringe of the social media movement. And so we always talk on here about it. It wasn't, I mean, and we'll talk about it later on the podcast about the Here for the Right Reasons, I Want to Build a Platform idea and what all that meant. But when, even when Ashley and I did it, you know, 5 and 6 years ago, social media was just becoming a thing. And so you didn't really even consider building a platform, or did you know how many people engaged in the show? And so now I think it's a whole new beast that people can relate with in a different way. So no, you definitely answered it.
Yeah. So, yeah. So without the social, you know, without social media, people actually really did go on just see what happened, because we didn't know that we could, you know, be famous or make something out of ourselves after it, besides, you know, being a reality star.
Well, now you describe yourself as a 44-year-old suburban wife and mom of two. You have two girls, May and Charlotte, and you're living in Hudson, Ohio. Mm-hmm. After you told us you were in Chicago for 20 years.
Yeah.
So what's it like having to go from, you know, you were the bachelorette one day, living in a big city, to now you're the suburban mom?
Just the suburban mom. You know, it was a gradual transition. So, you know, it was right after I did The Bachelorette. I don't know if everybody that's listening knows, but I did not choose anybody. Or I did choose Jerry, but then we didn't end up together. And it was like the world hated me, or the bachelor world hated me. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go back. I just want to be normal again. You know, I didn't know what The Bachelor or The Bachelorette would bring to me. And I was like, okay, that was fun for a while, but I'm sick of hearing how terrible I am and horrible I am to everybody else. So I'm just going to go back and sort of be a normal person. So then I got a regular job. I met my husband. I had two kids. So it was sort of, you know, now I have a 10-year-old. So she's almost 11, which is crazy. So I've been doing the mom thing for a very long time. So, you know, it was definitely an adjustment to go back to being, you know, very famous for, you know, a short amount of time to just a regular person. But I think now people that I know and in my circle, in my orbit, treat me like a normal person. So
how did you meet your husband?
We actually met on a blind date. I was set up on a blind date with this 24-year-old, and I was 31 at the time. And that's not who I married. But he, you know, it didn't work out for obvious reasons. But this guy actually called me and told me that he had a really great guy that he wanted to set me up with, who turned out to be my husband, Joe.
No way.
Which was super embarrassing, because you're like, I mean, literally, I got the 24-year-old's not calling me back, but he's got another guy. I think it was like the only guy he maybe knew at that point that was like over 30. So he's like, oh, I got to, you know, fix them up. So it worked. Who knew?
Wow, that's cool. Such destiny.
Who knew? And here we are. It's been 12 years.
So the life now, because you have a podcast, as we mentioned.
I do.
And it's an incredible podcast that I think actually has a lot of meaning behind kind of the title. And the title is From the Bachelor to the Burbs. So you, in this title, even are referencing like an identity switch, a change of seasons for you. So what has being a mom, you know, now living in the suburbs, which hasn't happened for that long, like what has that felt like to you?
Well, you know what is funny? When we moved here from Chicago, so I was in Chicago for 20 years, but like for 8 years, then we had moved out to the suburbs. So I was like I've been like a suburban mom now for like almost 10 years now. So 3 years ago, we moved to Hudson, Ohio. So that was a big move, because I was still used to like a big city. But you know, we're a small town. We love our little neighborhood. We have a little pool in our neighborhood. I mean, I'm just a regular mom, and I've got two girls. I do have a regular job too. I work at a med spa. So yeah, so different from my life 15 years ago, but I wouldn't trade it. I mean, this is, you know, you go on The Bachelor to meet love and find somebody and get married. And I didn't find that on The Bachelor, but I found it with somebody else. And so my life turned out exactly as I hoped it would, which was, you know, despite The Bachelor, Bachelorette maybe, not despite, but even with all of that, it still worked out, thankfully. Mm.
You said that one of your girls is almost 11, which means she's probably pretty aware of just the Bachelor franchise. How does she feel that her mom was once the Bachelorette?
So she's seen like a couple snippets here and there, but they both love it. They think it's so fun. I mean, but they, like, I showed them the Bachelorette, a little bit of it today, just because I was like prepping for this podcast, and they're like, oh, mom, this is like total drama-rama. It's like a TV show that they've watched where they've seen this. But I'm like, no, actually, total drama-rama, what you saw in there was like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. So they're getting the pop culture references without even realizing like that their mom did that. So it's kind of funny.
It's hilarious.
Do they know you've done it?
Yes, they know.
Okay.
I've done it.
Okay.
But they just don't really get it yet. They don't really get what that means.
So
they understand that I was with other guys, yeah, but
they're making sense of it. And over time, it's going to be like a really cool story. They tell their friends at school. It's going to be awesome.
Yes. Yes. So they still do talk about it to their friends, and you know, they think it's really cool. They just don't get it, but they think it's cool.
So each week
for now,
we're catching up with past bachelorettes. This is kind of our theme right now. We're going to just touch base with many of them and then break down an episode with all of them, which has been awesome so far. But one thing we've learned from two of them is that there's a text thread. Are you on this text thread?
I am on the text thread. Yes.
That is just, I mean,
which is like blows everybody's mind.
No, like it's just cool that like you, all of you have stayed connected. I just like, I think it's one of the coolest things we've found out is that this Bachelorette community has supported each other like this through a text thread, which I know as a past Bachelor, like how much that would have meant to me if I was entered into that, and then how much it would even mean to me to have that connection point with guys that are coming up after me. I think that would just be really cool.
Right.
It's
Ben, it's not too late. Start the Bachelor text message.
Yeah, you can start it.
I have a feeling the Bachelor text thread would come and go very fast. I don't know.
You don't know that people would participate.
Yeah,
all that much.
I don't know how much activity you would see on that. But it's not a bad idea. We would just be missing still our very first Bachelor. We can't find him, and so that would be
pretty hard.
Is anybody? Yeah, I hear you. I do. I feel like I have his phone number, but from years ago, it probably could have changed by now. So I bet we could find him for you.
Seriously, guys, what a mystery that is.
One of the wildest.
What a mystery.
Well, so again, Jen, we do want to highlight before we break down the episode, your podcast, From the Bachelor to the Burbs. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcast. We're going to stick around here. In just a few minutes, we have the opportunity to break down this week's episode of Katie Season with the third Bachelorette of all time, Jen Schaft Waterman.
First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens.
Always and forever.
We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens.
Smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Hey, this is Bethany Joy Lenz.
And Sophia Bush.
And Hillary Burton.
And we have a podcast called
Drama Queens.
I feel like it's a walk down memory lane that also might be a little bit of a stumble down memory lane.
I mean, we'll have cocktails sometimes, so we might leave stumbling.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
There are no fans like One Tree Hill fans. There is no family like our family. So we got together to do a rewatch podcast to relive the show, as so many of you have so many times, because to be honest, we haven't.
Yeah, we haven't seen it since 2002, 2003.
We can't wait to take this trip down memory lane with all of you.
What would our characters be doing right now?
I think Haley would probably be, she's got to be close to an empty nester now, right? Like Jamie's out of the house.
Is she getting wild?
She might be finally ready to live out those wild years that she...
Cut loose, baby.
You know what I mean? I think it might be time.
I'm going to say a lot of therapy. Peyton Sawyer is in so much therapy right now.
Well, not long ago, I found my vote Brooke Davis for president pin. I don't know. Is Brooke Davis a senator or something?
Like 100%.
Yeah, you can totally go for that.
There's so much cool stuff to imagine for them. But before we can go forward, we got to go back to the beginning.
You nailed it.
Make sure you all listen to Drama Queens on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at DramaQueensOTH.
Or email us at DramaQueens@iHeartRadio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, drama girl. All about them high school queens.
Forever.
We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl.
Drama girl.
Cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens.
The smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.
So let's start from the very beginning. We leave off from last week's rose ceremony when Carl stirred all that shit. And yes. All the guys are like, Carl, you just pulled lies out of your butt. Like, everybody's wondering where he got, you know, that he heard that more people were there for the wrong reasons. My theory last week was that just Carl, you know, he was there for the wrong reasons. So he assumed that there must be many more. Yeah. But this, like, the situation got checked out real quick because, the rose ceremony starts. And sweet Mike, is it Mike P? He gets his rose and says, just want to let you know that, Katie, we as a collective group think that Carl is the problem here. And, you know, we're looking out for you. So after hearing that, I think she gets a little overwhelmed. She was still planning on picking Carl to stay. She's still trusting Carl for some reason. Goes talks to Caitlin and Tayshia. They're like, no, this is on you. You make the decisions here. And inevitably, she ends up eliminating Carl. And we're all very proud. Like, we are happy because we're seeing Katie weed out these losers real quick. You know, last week, I don't even remember the guy's name, but there was like some drama with him and the slightest amount of drama. She's like, okay, you're gone. And then this week, same here with Carl. I think it's really refreshing. I think we're tired of seeing the villains stick around for a while. So what was your take on this, Jen?
You know, it was like, oh my God, the drama already, just like the minute this episode started. No, I loved that she got rid of him and that she actually listened to the collective group instead of, you know. I also liked when Caitlin was like, you know, this isn't up to the men, this is up to you.
Yeah.
And I think I thought she was like, okay, I know what to do. But yeah, I'm super glad she let him go because usually the villains do stick around for a while and it's like, we don't want to, you know, after a while, you just don't want to see it anymore. So good for her for just like, you know, I'm done.
I don't think there's any redemption for Carl here. Like, I don't think this was a good move. I don't think it was like in her best interest. I think we see that. But later in the episode, as we'll talk about, Thomas kind of comes out with not being there for the right reason. So is that who he's referring to? We don't get any clarity on that. But
that's ironic, Ben.
I think it might be.
I didn't put two and two together.
But Carl makes the ultimate move that is, I don't care if it's a bachelor or bachelorette, that just is not okay. And it is he did it worse than I remember. He stood in front of Katie. He turned his back to Katie. He stared down the guys.
Oh my God, I saw that.
And then he walked out. Didn't even say, Katie, I'm sorry.
That was so crazy.
I'm like, I rewound that. I was like, did he really just do that?
It was ridiculous at all levels, right, Jen?
Yes. Oh my God. And I was like, that proves why we shouldn't have chosen him. I mean, if that was how he was going to react, then I mean, obviously not the right guy. I mean, he totally did not, he could have maybe redeemed himself, but obviously he chose to just continue to be a jerk.
And I mean, we've seen it in the past where guys, you know, say something, the bachelorette or bachelor's guys or girls, and they send them home and they say, hey, you know, what you said or what you did isn't okay. And we've seen it done really well. And I can't remember off the top of my head, but it just happened recently where they go up to the bachelor or bachelorette and they say, hey, I know maybe I was misinterpreted, or, hey, I know what I meant and I didn't mean what I say. And I'm sorry that you took it the way you did. And it's unfortunate I have to go home. Like, even if you have to get your last word out of kind of like that, but it's out of respect. Just
Right. He was like, screw you. I'm done. I don't need you.
Done.
I'm
done with this. So bad. So bad. Yeah. At least I hope she got some sort of like, I don't even know.
Satisfaction.
Like she was like, all right, confirmation. I made the right move.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So then we get the first group date card, and it has Aaron, Courtney, James, Connor B, David, Justin, Thomas, Hunter, Brendan. All of them are going on the date. And it's like a therapy session. It looks like group therapy.
It looks like AA.
Yeah.
It looks like AA.
It's
like AA
from what I see on, you know, the TV shows.
Yes. And Nick Viall is leading the group conversation where he says basically like everybody is going to talk about their red flags. They're going to talk about things that they've done in their past that they're not proud of. Mm-hmm. And it starts like a really vulnerable, like heavy emotional conversation. First, we have Hunter. He talks about how he was previously married and he had two kids with his wife. And then something happened where he just had his priorities all shuffled up and it ended. I really felt like I started to learn more about Hunter in this episode. I like him. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I liked him. I really liked him. I thought he's a little older. He's 34. I was trying to pay attention to all the guys' ages, but you know, he seems like he's mature and I liked what he had to say. And, I liked that little group. I mean, so much came out of it, but, thought that was a kind of a really great idea for the show to do. Cause it's usually so fluffy and nobody talks about anything important, or at least, you know, they don't air it. So it was nice to see that and then really learn about some of these guys.
That's why I'm liking this season. I feel like there's a lot of scenes like this and we're really early on. And some of these dates have, they have themes where a lot can come up and it's not just like last week's mud wrestling date. Like we're getting to know these guys really fast. I feel like the franchise was maybe even like listening to some fan feedback because the past season, we just felt like we didn't get to know people very well. Right. And I think we're really getting to know these guys quickly.
I like that.
I thought it was an incredible date. And Nick said it at the beginning, and I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, you're on this show to fall in love with somebody, but yet you don't know all about these people. And you still won't, right? Relationships are about continuing to get to know the person. But most of the time, you're not even given the space in this franchise to learn about and to have this moment. I actually viewed this as a really beautiful day. I'll be excited to hear kind of the fan reaction to it. I actually kind of feel that it should be a date that stays every season, that this moment of vulnerability and this moment for people to open up and have a safe place to do it, where it maybe doesn't have to always be in a group environment, but it could be kind of always a focus point, was something that I really enjoyed, because now I am, more than past seasons, incredibly emotionally connected to these contestants and to Katie because I know their backstories and I want to see them succeed even past the show, which I don't always feel because I just don't always feel like I know the people well.
Right. Well, yeah, usually they typically don't let you or the viewer get to know each other, like get to know people's stories, except for what they want to tell you. What the producers want to tell you. So I thought it was really, like you said, at the beginning of, you know, beginning of the season, just to get into some real conversations, I thought was really definitely heavy. I was like, oh my God, I'm already crying. You know, these stories are a lot. And, you know, Katie obviously shared so much. I loved it.
Yeah. So we have Katie. She talks about this one time over 10 years ago that she didn't give consent. Then we have Connor B, who talks about his problems with drinking and maybe a little drug use and cheating on his girlfriend. We had, what were the other standout stories?
I mean, we had a lot of guys kind of expressing their difficult, like their priorities being misaligned in relationships and what that's taught them. And I think if you're, for me, as I'm 32 years old, I can look at their stories and relate with priorities being misaligned. And you don't look at it from a place of judgment, but you look at it a place of like, how cool is it now that you're sitting in this place to be able to now share that and know what you're looking for and know that you're ready for this again. I think those relationship lessons are huge, especially as you enter into an experience where you might be in an engagement. So those were powerful.
Yeah. So the one that raised a red flag in the traditional sense, perhaps, was Thomas's story, because he didn't really so much have a story as he was just kind of like using the time to confirm to Katie how he feels about her right now.
Yeah. And
he did slip in that when he started out, when he left for The Bachelorette, not knowing Katie, he was, you know, saying that it could be a great opportunity to get a platform. And that, of course, raised some eyebrows amongst the crowd. Gonna be honest, didn't have the hugest issue with this just because it was so honest.
Right.
I didn't like his demeanor necessarily. He was smiley. He definitely didn't have the same tone as a lot of the other guys. So I could see them being like, about that. But as far as like what he said and being there for the wrong reasons, I just found it to be honest. And I think it would be really... I think it's really hard to say that it hasn't crossed the minds of every other guy sitting in that
circle. Every single guy. I know. So that's what kind of, I mean, for me personally, when I went on the show, it was like, yeah, I think this will be a fun adventure. It would be awesome if it worked out, but it probably won't.
Exactly.
I mean, like, how many people are actually the chosen at the end? So don't tell me that they haven't thought of it.
Yeah.
Because all of them have thought about it.
Yeah.
Because there's only going to be one at the end. So I'm like, that doesn't bother me. I just think he was just... He just wouldn't, you know, he kind of talked in circles. He didn't really ever answer any of her questions. Was that bothered me more than him admitting that maybe he's thought about it. Because of course he could be like, I thought about it, but now I'm like actually really into you.
Which is
totally
basically
happened.
What he said. And I liked it because he was saying what I say all the time, like a broken record on here. It's like, I don't really have the biggest problem if you show up for the wrong reasons, but as long as when you're in the bubble, you're feeling everything, then in that case, you're fine.
Right. Because I don't think anyone knows how they're going to react.
Yeah.
Being in that situation.
Yeah. Ben?
I would agree. I mean, I think we've talked about it so many times, Ashley, where if you go on the show and nothing slips into your head about what this is going to do to enhance or change your life.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit naive because only one person is chosen. Now, when you're there to see if maybe you are going to be right for this person and see if it works out. If not, go. I just think, and then sometimes you get this. I mean, I don't know Tom as well yet, but like, I just think he was really bad at explaining himself. Like, I think he did a terrible job. When all the guys were confronting him, he still did a terrible job of saying like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is where I was at. Did none of you think this? And this is where I want to go. I think it also, though, it's the theme of the season so far is that people are there not for the right reasons. And so it's going to be harped on. It's going to be different than past seasons where this is said and everybody kind of like glosses over it because there's other drama going on. Right now, we can say that there's been a lot of drama, but quite frankly, compared to like past seasons, it feels like the love stories are increasing more than what we've seen. Yeah. So they're pulling out this storyline and we're seeing it, and he's going to be the one that kind of gets pushed aside for it, right or wrong. We don't know yet. I'm sure it gets worse at some level.
Yeah. Okay. So let's like kind of go into the nighttime portion where this continues to be the theme, especially with Aaron, who is really coming to have an issue with Thomas, who had an issue last week with the guy that he knew back home in San Diego and then got him eliminated. So part of me is starting to think like, is Aaron just the guy that's always trying to find somebody there for the wrong reasons? I'm not saying that I trust Thomas 100%. Like I said last week, he's like a smooth talker. You know, he's just a smooth guy. You know, like you can just see the way that he looks at her. I'm not saying I 100% trust him, but I also don't have as much of an issue with him as these guys are kind of making it out to be. It's like the worst thing he's done so far is admit that he wants a platform. And then during the
during the cocktail party, he interrupts someone. It's like, welcome right. to The Bachelor. He interrupted. That's
oh my
that
God,
what?
Never happened.
I know. So I feel like this poor guy is maybe going to become the villain of the season just because there truly wasn't any other villains in the house.
Right. Oh my God, that's so true. Yeah. And I think when she was also asking him about like, what are these red flags you're talking about? Like, I don't hate him, but I just felt like he's like, I just really want you to know how much I'm into you. And I'm like, can you just like maybe answer the question?
Yeah. Oh, like, I got frustrated there.
But I don't think he's a bad guy, but he's also not a very good
communicator. Up front. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a kind of has an issue with communicating, because even when the guys were trying to tell him, like, you might want to like slow this down or there's an issue, he's like not getting it. Or not being able to articulate what he's thinking.
Yeah. Because I think he's so stuck in smooth talk mode that he doesn't know how to talk real.
Right. That's probably true.
Can I
was like, just answer her question.
Can I bring up a pet peeve that I need you guys to settle me on? I don't love it when other people speak for other people, especially when that other person's in the room with them. So he kept saying these feelings that I'm feeling and you're feeling too, or these feelings like our connection and what you felt, what I felt. It's like, maybe at some point you should ask her to get the confirmation of like, are you feeling similar to how I am? Or right now, are you frustrated with me because you feel like I'm not communicating clearly to you? But I felt that sometimes this show brings up my pet peeves. I think that's one of them. Cause I was watching, I was like, stop telling her how she's feeling about you. Like, stop it.
I don't like that. Right. And just let her get to know you. I think he's just trying, like, you love me. You like me too. You like me too. Right. Yeah. Versus like, hey, maybe let's just, you know, don't be so aggressive.
Yeah. He's very aggressive.
But I wasn't getting like super fired up over this whole controversy. I was like, yeah, I get it. Like he's at least being honest. And if you don't want that to be said, then like send him home. If not, this isn't like the worst thing that he could be doing is thinking after.
Katie just became the Bachelorette. Yeah. And she obviously, I mean, everybody, you know, I don't think that's like the worst thing that could ever be said by someone. It's the truth.
Yeah. Sorry, guys, this is random, but I'm just thinking about villains right now and who's going to become the villain. Earlier, when we were still like trying to figure out how this season would unfold based on the teasers, I thought Blake was going to come in the first week or two. Mm-hmm. His appearance wasn't going to be some sort of I'm showing up in the middle of this and going to ruffle any feathers type thing. But now we see that he comes in next week, week four. That's pretty far deep.
Same as Nick Vile. He came in week four and people were mad about that.
Yeah. So we'll see if the tables turn and they get the attention of Thomas next week.
Yeah. I don't like when they bring new people in either, though, because like as a bachelor or a bachelorette, you're like trying to get to know all these people. And then all of a sudden someone new comes in and then I feel like you have less time. I would feel like, oh, my God, how am I supposed to get to know this person? I started though with 25 guys and it went down to 15. So all of these like 30 and then 20 something, like that's just so many people. That would have been so overwhelming. It was already overwhelming.
You went from 25 to 15 in one night?
Yeah, first night. So, and then they didn't ever bring anybody in. So it was, you know, those were the guys. No extra drama by bringing anyone else in.
So I wonder if back then you were able to form closer relationships faster.
I think probably just because there just weren't as many people and you had more time with each person.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I think.
Okay. Well, let's get into something.
Back into this. Yeah.
Super sweet. We'll change pace a little bit. Mm-hmm. Michael gets his one-on-one date. Mm. Oh, this man is such a precious gem. He kind of reminds me of Evan, but like not in a sassy, like weird Evan way, because like Evan's fine with me calling him weird. Evan embraces that. But Michael has like that sort of like sensitivity, dad vibe. He's just, he shares that story about
he meets his wife
in 2000. They were together for 16 years. So she passed away January 2019. They met in 2003.
Oh, my God. Like, I was crying again. Actually, so from Hudson, he's from around where I currently live. So I've heard about him. I heard his story. And lots of people are like, oh, my God, you got to get to know him. So just, you know, right out of the gate, I was like, I want to hear his story. And then, I mean, you know, I know friends who knew his wife and So I'm just like, oh my God, I'm rooting for this guy. And not only does he have this story, but he's also just like a little, like, you just want to hug him.
I know.
He was he's like the cutest, sweetest little thing. Little thing. He doesn't want to hear that. Like, but,
big thing, cutest, big thing.
Cutest like guy.
Yeah. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So his story is just heartbreaking and I love him.
Beyond anything else that happens for him on this franchise, it is incredible and like something that like just brings joy to watch and to see his courage of just putting himself back out there again.
Right.
You know, talk about a guy that's definitely there for the right reason. I would be shocked.
Yeah.
If this had ever crossed his mind of anything different, but just for him to say, the love of my life has passed away. I am a dad. And I'm going to try to get back out there and date again and pursue again because I get to fall in love twice. Oh, I mean, absolutely like there's just a really special moment for me to learn from him on his courage to continue to move forward.
Get out there again.
Oh, the way that he said that he had never said I love you to any other woman. So I really hope that he doesn't feel pressure into saying it. Like if he gets really far before he really feels like it's right, I don't want him to get like sucked up in the bubble.
I don't want him to get like hurt now.
Yeah.
Like, what if she doesn't choose him? Now I feel bad for her too, because you're like, oh my God, she lets him go. Everyone's going to be mad at her. You just want good things for him. That's all I want. I just want good things for him.
Yes. Also, he said there was something that stood out to me that she said. It's like I'm the person who's going to be with him is always going to have to like respect the fact that like that's his like
or live
love.
Up to his past
like,
love.
Just like that she's always going to be like a love of his. It's like not like it ever is over.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's probably pretty heavy for whoever he ends up with, too. Mm-hmm. But he's so great. You know, I think, like he said, he's like, he wants to make sure that whoever he is with still feels just as loved as his first wife. I mean, clearly he's got lots of love to give and he deserves it all.
I've seen it done really well. I had a football coach who was probably in his late 30s when his wife passed away from breast cancer and he remarried about 4 years later, and they were like the staples of the town. Like everybody knew them. It was very tragic for so many. And I remember advice that at one point they were talking at like an event I was at, or I just was meeting with them personally. But you know, when you marry somebody, when you enter into a relationship with somebody, one of the most beautiful things is to understand their past and to own that past with them. Like that you know, you are part of their past. Like you take in and you learn from the stories they've told. And now this guy and his now wife run a foundation in the name of his past wife, and they do events around the community in her name. And it's a really beautiful thing to see. I imagine it can't be easy, but once you start to own that with the love of your life now, I imagine it's a really beautiful moment. I guess we could see her all day and talk about how great he is, but to transition just a bit, if you watch the very end of the episode, because I was worried he was going to be super held back and like maybe not really know how to date. Like I was kind of worried about that for him. Like how is this guy going to be able to like flirt again? Or like does he even, what is that?
Yes, but he does.
He does the last scene of the episode is the two of them watching the stars together. And that dude's got game. Like he's good.
He
they're flirting. He's joking with her. She feels so confident that she's like, that's a star because you're a pain in my ass. Like that's big. Like that's big deal. Like Jessica and I, at this point, that's how we talk to each other. And it's like this flirty behavior. I think there's something there, guys. I don't think we cannot discount him.
I don't think we can discount him at all.
At first, I was like, I don't feel anything with these two, like the past 2 weeks. Yeah. I was like, this is a sweet guy that'll stick around for a while. But she like, wow, what a turnaround on that date. Uh-huh. You definitely, she likes him.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely likes him.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. All right. So count him in. Going far.
I know, but they're already showing this. So that makes me worried for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're giving us too much too soon.
I think there's good things to come for that man, no matter what.
Okay, good. No matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. All right, let's move on to like the kind of like the last scene of the episode. We see the guys at the house. It's about to go down with Thomas. Aaron keeps calling him a psychopath. I'm like, calm down, Aaron. Okay. It's like, I don't like this guy. I don't like that. Okay. Yeah, I get it. You don't like him. Like, and Hunter kind of had a sit down with Thomas saying like, you know, the guys aren't really sure about you right now. And now they're going to have a big like confrontation.
Always fun. Yeah. Always exciting.
And they're getting together to let, you know, to let Katie know that they don't think he should be here. I don't know that that's up to them. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, now they're having a little bit of a power surge after the rose ceremony, ordeal.
Right.
Now they're like, we can basically. You. Yeah, they're like, what is this, Survivor? You think you could vote people out of the house?
I'm like, no, Katie gets to decide, not you guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's funny. That's funny to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, any last thoughts on the episode or what's to come?
No, but I was just like, this was a great episode. I thought it was a really good episode. Well,
I think
done.
So too.
And I'm excited to see where it goes for her and for Michael and all the other guys. But those are my, you know, Katie and Michael right now. That's who I'm worried about.
I have a thought.
Okay.
Yes.
I can't believe you two aren't more up in uproar about this. This frustrated me. I like Katie, but I think she made a drastic mistake this episode. I think it brings a lot into question. She got rid of my number two guy, John, and I liked John.
John, the bartender?
Yeah, I think he was the bartender, and I don't know what happened in that relationship, but he was sweet. He was sensitive. He was a very average mud wrestler. I thought this guy was here to stay and he gets let go and goes home and I was crushed.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Sorry for you, Ben.
I must be the only one. Am I the only one here?
I didn't feel attached to him, to be quite honest.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
never mind.
I mean, some of them are, there's some great guys that you just don't feel or women. I'm sure in your case, Ben, they're great, but you just don't have a spark.
You know who I want to see more of that we haven't seen have any sort of connection with Katie? Christian from Boston, Jared's future best friend.
Yeah. Yeah. He made a couple good comments this episode, but
yeah,
I think, and we can close it here. I'm watching their powwow as they confront Thomas, and I'm watching these group dates, and there's some like really good dudes in there who don't want to get involved in the drama of it all. So they kind of stand back, and their facial expressions are absolutely fantastic. Like, absolutely, like the best things to watch in the world. And at some point, I believe those guys will shine. You'll get to know more about them, right?
Right.
But hopefully, in the mix, they don't just stay quiet because the controversy, you know, kind of like deafens them. But
yeah,
I think that's his deal, Ash. I think he's just like,
I think you're right.
He is like, I don't want to get involved in this. I'm from Boston. Like, I've seen a lot worse than a guy saying he wanted fame.
Like, some guys are like, are we really fighting about this?
Yeah.
Like, let's cut the drama and let's just, you know, figure it all out as we go along. Cause you know, I mean, some people just love to fight.
So Jim, before we let go, I do this with Ashley. I'm going to do it with you as well.
Okay.
Who are your top 2 to 3 favorites? And Ashley, you're right after her.
On the show.
Yeah. Right now. Who do you think is going to go the farthest? Who do you like the
most? Okay. I'm having a problem. Okay. I like Hunter. I like Michael. And then there was another guy I thought was super cute, but I can't remember his name. I think, was he a bartender? Did somebody? Okay, he's like curlyish, blondish hair. I thought I wrote his name down. Not Connor B, but
not Christian.
He didn't have a lot to say. He didn't have a lot to say today, but he did get a rose.
Couldn't
Maybe
it have been Christian?
Christian. Maybe it's Christian.
Because he's super cute. Okay.
Okay, that's Christian. So, sorry, Ben. You were talking about who I was talking about.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's good. That's a good list.
Christian.
Ashley?
All right. So I'm going to add Michael to the top now.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be Michael, Connor B., Greg, and then Andrew, who I think is a sort of dark horse right now, because I think he's going to get far, but I don't think we've seen a lot of him yet.
Right.
Why did you make the Greg sound?
Greg, because he's so wonderful and he brings so much comfort to us all while watching him on screen with Katie.
That's perfect. I like it. I was interested with the noise, Matt. Hey, Jen, you're the best. Again, everybody out there listening, please, please, please go consider listening to Jen's podcast, and it is called From the Bachelor to the Burbs, wherever you can listen to the podcast. Jen Schaft Waterman, thanks for joining us for this breakdown.
Thank you guys so much. This was so fun.
It's now time for one of our biggest, most famous, most almost famous segments of the podcast. It's called Bachelor Headlines, and we've got a few. This is a big one. A buddy of mine who was at my bachelor party, Wills Adams, role on Bachelor in Paradise just got even bigger. People are super pumped about this. This according to E!
Yeah, so he's not just going to be the bartender. He's also going to be presiding over rose ceremonies. So my big question is this. Why is there guest hosts? Why couldn't they just have Wells be the bartender, giving everybody advice and like words of support and guidance at the bar? And then he conducts the rose ceremony. It's like, why do you need a host to do anything more than that?
I don't know what a host does. Now, I'm super pumped for Wells. Huge deal for him. Really excited that he gets this opportunity. He's going to be great at it. I have no question.
Yeah.
But take away like him being a friend and him being good at it for a second. What else does a host do on this show?
They guide, they support, and they do rose ceremonies.
Yeah, like, I don't get it. So it's going to be interesting to see how much the host plays a role in Bachelor in Paradise this season. Because in past seasons, I mean, really, Chris has showed up for rose ceremonies, for like group date cards, maybe to introduce somebody, like to welcome them in. But I don't feel like we need David Spade to do that.
No, like I'm really curious as to what they're going to do. Lauren, my sister, was like, it's going to be like Little John. Hey, I'm Little John. And this week I'm going to teach you how to rap. And it's like, Lance is going to be there. And he's like, I'm going to teach you how to dance, like do a choreographed dance. Then David Spade's like, hey, I'm going to teach you to do stand up. Like, is it going to be like that?
That's actually not a bad idea. I could see, I could see that, but I mean, again, it goes back to the conversation we've been having is, how do you pay Little John, David Spade, Lance Bass to be a host of a show if all they're going to do is go and host a date? Like, how do you convince them to quarantine for a week in Mexico and then film for a week in Mexico? That's just a big deal for them.
When Jared and I found out that Wells is going to do rose ceremonies, he was like, I bet you the hosts weren't going to want to even stay up that late, because rose ceremonies take place in Paradise like almost consistently at 3 or 4 o'clock at night. And he was like, he probably couldn't even convince in the morning. Sorry. Yeah.
That's convince ridiculous. Everybody.
You,
that's why I want to be the host of the senior show, because there's no way you could convince me to be up at 3 a.m. hosting rose ceremonies. I want to host the senior show because I see those being like a mid-afternoon rose ceremony that, you know, exists for just a few hours. That is the sweetest deal. Hey, Ashley, more headlines, more details about Chris Harrison's exit from the Bachelor franchise. It says, according to Variety, that he actually got a $9 million payout, which was, you know, discussed multiple times, you know, last week.
Yeah. So initially people were saying that he was going to get an 8-figure payout. But two people familiar with the negotiations say that he got $9 million plus remaining contractual fees, which brought his total exit package to about $10 million. About the same paycheck he would have made from 2 back-to-back years of work, as his contract was said to be around $5 million a year.
Jeez.
It also says that he wanted to keep his job, but at a certain point, the damage was done. The relationship had been soured and drama hit an all-time high with the network and the studio, and his attorney quickly arranged an exit deal. And within a matter of days, Harrison had reached a legal agreement to depart the franchise on his own accord.
Wow. Well, that's the big update. Life without Chris Harrison on the Bachelor franchise. We're seeing it. And that brings us to our mentors for this season. A few stories about Caitlin and Tayshia. Caitlin Bristow this week had a week where she was pretty outspoken about the criticism she's been receiving for her appearance. And the headline reads this: Caitlin Bristow shuts down criticism of her different appearance with refreshingly honest response. This is according to E!
Okay, so I saw this response on Twitter. I thought it was amazing. Somebody said, there's something different about you, but I can't like figure it out. Can't put my finger on it. And then Caitlin was like, could it be? And then she listed a whole bunch of things that she has done over the past 6 years. In addition to, of course, being 6 years older. But she wrote exactly this: 6 years since I've been on the show, brow lift, microblading, got my teeth bonded, some lip filler, aging, darker hair, and I finally learned how to contour. Oh, and I put some weight on. So yes, I love how honest Caitlin was with that, and just absolutely ridiculous for the amount of comments she gets.
Yeah, she's beautiful. I mean, come on. Like,
yeah.
What are we doing? Well, other mentor, Tayshia Adams, her dad actually says he's happy with how she's progressing, and that's in quotes, with fiance Zach Clark. This is according to People.
Yeah, so her dad, Desmond, was on Mike Johnson and Brian Absolo's Talking It Out podcast, and he was describing his future son-in-law. He says he's humble and genuine and an all-around good guy. What you see is what you get. He said that's what he really liked about him. A lot of people, as you know, they go on the show for promoting certain things. I think it was all pretty new to Zach. If I recall well, he wasn't really a follower of the show for so many years or whatnot. And during our first conversation, we had some good heart to hearts. Even those first conversations, he said, were like pretty deep. He said, I was happy with him. He was just a really nice guy. And I like how things are progressing.
Super cool to hear a dad of a daughter say that. You know, we've been fans of Zach and Tayshia since they got together, so we'll continue to support them here. Well, speaking of past bachelorettes, Hannah Brown gushes over boyfriend Adam Woolard. I think I said that right. Don't know if I did, yeah. But you get it if I didn't. In Sweet Post, the quote is, she's feeling especially blessed. This is according to Us.
Yeah, she posted a cute little picture of the two of them and captioned it, Adam appreciation post, just feeling especially blessed to have you by my side. Thank you for everything you do for me. I am one lucky girl. I like the way that like they show off their relationship, but not in a too much in your face sort of way. It just seems really sweet.
And it seems, I mean, this is going to, but it seems very real, which,
yeah,
you know, in her position, she could be using it and highlighting it and, you know, using it for fame and glory. But no, it just seems like, hey, we actually want to make this thing work. This is a real deal. Well, some good news now, and we've been following it over the last week, but Lauren Burnham and Ari Leindike Jr., they just brought home their daughter from the hospital after respiratory issues. This is according to Us.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of details. She did get to go home. But it did take a couple days. She said that when they brought home the boy twin Lux, it felt so bittersweet. Little sis has to stay behind for right now. And then Ari said, I've never felt heartbreak like this. Please say prayers for our girl. And then we see Alessi, their oldest daughter, with the baby boy. And he said, already loves her brother so much. Emotional few days, but Alessi meeting her little brother today was cuter than words could describe. But good news is all the babies are home and seeming to be doing pretty well now.
On to kind of switching gears here. This was a topic we got a lot of messages about, and it's something that we needed to break down. Ashley's going to teach me about it because that was kind of our role here. Bachelor alum Carly Waddell is in rough shape after hospitalization. This according to Page Six. Ashley, catch us up. What's going on?
Oh my gosh, nobody knows what's really going on, including Carly herself. She posted a 15-minute video to her Instagram describing everything that went down last week. And I was truly nauseous just hearing about it. Poor girl gets like cramps, such bad stomach pains. She said the only thing that she felt even similar to them in her life were contractions. She was in line to get on an airplane,
gets on the airplane despite the cramps, and then it gets worse and worse. She says her hearing goes out, her eyesight goes out, you know, like, you know, faint. Mm-hmm. You're in the faint zone. She gets just flushed with like overwhelming amounts of heat. She ends up passing out, walking off the airplane right. Oh, she was so lucky. It was right before or like right after they closed the door. So she made it off the plane. Could you imagine feeling like that in the air? Oh, they would have probably had to make an emergency landing stop. Because she ends up going into the ambulance. They said that her blood pressure got alarmingly low. She felt so ill that she was like giving herself a pep talk to keep living. She was like, honestly, like I felt like death was near. Gets to the hospital, throwing up so much, all the diarrhea. Nothing would stop it. No Zofran or anything. And they couldn't get her blood. Like they couldn't even find like a vein for her blood because I don't know what was going on there. And after everything kind of like came out, she said that like there wasn't much for them to do other than like hydrate her. And they think that it was a bacterial or viral infection that just hit her hard. Like it was just something bad in there. But still, she still doesn't know. And she says now, a week later, that she is feeling, you know, controllable. She'll get bouts of nausea and such, but doesn't know what went on.
You know, when I had that parasite after the season,
I was thinking about you with the parasite.
Yeah, it was very similar. And it would like getting up in the planes or getting the pressurized situation would admit, or any anxiety and or nerves like of the smallest amount would bring it on. So I do wonder if she had something in her gut that was causing it, because it would be like excruciating pain. So our thoughts are with Carly. You can follow her story. She's doing a pretty good job now that she's out of the hospital on keeping us up to date on Instagram. Well, that's all the Bachelor headlines we have today. Another great episode of Katie's season. We're going to rank this season so far. We haven't done it yet because we're kind of waiting to get into it. I'm giving Katie's season so far, Ashley, an A-, and only an A- because I want to see room for growth. But I'm really enjoying it, and I like the cast. I really like Katie. I'm enjoying participating. Viewers still aren't tuning in. Ratings are still down, which is frustrating, probably for many. But as far as like if you're a Bachelor fan, I like this season. What about you?
Me too. I was going to give it the same. I was going to say a 9, which would be like a 90%. I think I love it for the same reasons you just mentioned. I love feeling attached to the cast already this early on. I feel like they're giving us exactly what we want, which is love stories, depth, substance. And I'm excited to continue to invest in these love stories.
It almost feels like a throwback season, like a season you would see 5 years ago, like a season that really was focused on building relationships. It's pretty great. Well, hey, that's all we got for you today. Thanks again for Jen Chef Waterman for joining us. And as always, my wonderful co-host, Ashley Canetti. I've been Ben.
And as always, my wonderful co-host, Ben Higgins. Love you guys so much. I've been Ashley. Peace out.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.